Welcome to the No Sports Report, a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan. So currently, to pass time, I'm counting the leaves on a tree in my backyard. I'm at 42,116, in case you're wondering. I know you weren't. Without any real athletics to follow, I'm lost. So to feel more connected to the sports I love, I'm talking to athletes and industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. This is the No Sports Report. His given name is Ray Charles Leonard, but it would be difficult to find one person on earth who doesn't know him as Sugar Ray. One of the greatest boxers of all time, he won world titles in 5 weight divisions, the lineal championship in 3 weight divisions, as well as the undisputed welterweight title and an Olympic gold medal. He was voted the boxer of the decade in the 80s, which makes sense because in 1989, he became the first boxer to ever earn more than $100 million in fight purses. In between a handful of false start retirements that only boxing could pretend they didn't see coming, Leonard has been an analyst for ABC, CBS, NBC, ESPN, Epix, and most notably HBO. Now 63, he's retired with more goodwill than he can handle, acting as an ambassador for the sport of boxing and constantly in demand as a busy motivational speaker, preaching the same word of positivity and dedication that made him a household name. It's awesome that being the inspiration for Sugar Ray's band name didn't hold him back. We talk about staying active while in lockdown, the difficulties in staying sober these days, and how a video game is complete bullshit. This is my conversation with the legendary Sugar Ray Leonard on the No Sports Report.
Call from.
I'm Sugar Ray Leonard.
To accept, press 1. Press.
Hello.
Hello there, Jensen.
Oh, champ, I'm so happy, so honored to speak to you.
Well, thank you, buddy.
I first want to start off by talking about where you're quarantined. Where exactly are you holed up?
I am quarantined at home with my lovely wife, Bernadette, and my youngest son, Daniel.
And how old is Daniel?
Daniel is 19.
Okay. That's a tough age. That's a rough age to be like, stay at home.
It's not that easy. You know, I can look back when I was 19 years old, although I was a fighter, but 19, I was pretty, well, I want to say stable, but I was busy, and he is busy, his mind is busy, and it's hard to, let's say, stabilize that.
Sure.
So every now and then we bump heads. We don't fight. It's not physical, but... Well, a little bit sometimes. But we bump heads.
I mean, it's difficult.
It is. Oh, my God. I mean, really. I mean, raising kids, I mean, I love kids. No question. I love them tremendously. But raising kids, it's a challenge. Like my mother told me when she raised us, it was a challenge.
Well, I mean, listen, they didn't prep anyone for being in the same house for 24 hours. I have a 9-month-old, so it's all new to me. And listen, I could hand him a water bottle, and he thinks it's the greatest hour of his life. It's different when you have a 19-year-old that's just like, I'm a free man. I'm an adult. I got to get out of here.
Those are the exact freaking words he uses. I'm a young man, you know, and I'm this and I'm that. And I say, where do you live?
Yeah, he's under the Sugar Ray, the household. How have you guys been passing time? Am I okay to think that maybe there's no TV binging in the Sugar Ray Leonard household?
TV? Excuse me? TV. Because I watch my 600-pound life, something like that.
Oh, wow.
I watch it all the time. And my wife, she gets so mad at me. How can you, what do you take from this? I just do it. You know?
Yeah, I would assume that Sugar Ray Leonard watching my 600-pound life, it's almost like you're seeing the other side of the spectrum.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on in my head sometimes. But it overloads. It overloads sometimes.
Yeah, well, nowadays, I don't think we need to really care at this point. We're all just sort of trying to get by. I wanted to start outside of sports for 1 second. During research, I found out that your father was a manager of a supermarket. Now, I don't think any of us ever realized just how important and essential that job would be until like the last few weeks. They're like our true heroes. Did you ever realize how vital that career is for society growing up?
I mean, we take so much for granted and we don't really think about that. But my father He worked almost like 24/7. I mean, he worked hard. My dad was just, and again, he passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, incredible man, big heart. He just took care of the customers. He took 100% care of the customers. Whatever they want, he provided for them.
Yeah, it's truly an incredible job. There are frontline workers, really. I'll be honest. I don't think we knew how much importance there is, especially during tragedies or global events, how much we rely on those supermarkets.
Well, with this coronavirus, I mean, it's like a movie to me. It's so surreal. And sometimes I want to wake up and, like, you know, say this is not happening. Not just to, you know, Europe or China. This is global. And it's really scary. It really, really is. But I'm so optimistic, as I've always been, that we will eventually knock it out, get rid of it.
Since retiring from boxing, you really have become this esteemed and well-respected speaker, and we're all lucky to see some of that on Instagram. How would you suggest to people who are listening that they stay motivated during these times? Like you said, it's a very negative feeling out there, and it's difficult to stay optimistic.
Well, you just have to say to yourself, you know what, I'm not giving up. You really have to mean that. You have to be optimistic. I mean, it's tough. Again, it's tough for everyone. And the fact of the matter is, we also appreciate. You have to appreciate what you have. I mean, majority of people don't have a lot, but what you do have, you must appreciate that. And your health, especially if you're healthy, and just be optimistic. You know, and again, it sounds easier, but you just have to repeatedly tell yourself that.
Yeah, this last week, I've felt depressed about it all. Just like you said, it seems so massive. It's like it's not just California. It's not just the United States. It's not just North America. It's everyone and all these unemployment numbers and things that the news sort of drills into our head. And I just, even small things like showering or making sure I'm changing clothes, those type of things have really helped me. And I wonder if there's other things that you think of from your sort of experience and motivation.
You know, Justin, that for me, I wash my hands almost like 1,000 times a day. I mean, it's really about being observant and taking the time for yourself to wash your hands, mm-hmm. to wear the mask. I mean, for a couple of days, I didn't wear because I said, I don't need this.
Yeah.
But and then my wife reminds me, she put your mask on, put your gloves on, because you have to appreciate yourself.
Absolutely. Staying fit during quarantine, especially as most of us don't have a home gym or a lot of people don't have even the space to really make working out beneficial. But on Instagram, we've seen you shadow box in your driveway, lift candles as weights. How do you suggest people stay healthy and strong for at least another month is what we're hearing?
You know, I think it's just movement. I think it's just moving the body. You can jump without a rope, just the motion, just jumping up and down, up and down. I even do that. I just move. Mm-hmm. Justin, I just make myself move. Do a push-up. Do a sit-up. You know what? And that, I guarantee you, that 5 minutes of working out, 10 minutes of working out, whatever you can do is good. But you won't be thinking about anything else but that workout, because it's what keeps me sane. It requires your concentration. But you'll feel much better 5, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later. You have to do something to just take your mind off such a horrible picture, but we're gonna repaint this.
Exactly. Yeah, and I did think about it when going over this interview, sort of researching, is like boxing as a sport, like you, other than the ring, let's say, but training for boxing has always been sort of in a room. You've never needed a ton of space, like you said, jump roping or a punching bag or those things. You know, a garage probably would be a good training space.
Anywhere, any small place, you don't need much room to just throw a punch, throw a jab, throw a right hand. What we call shoot shot, that means throwing punches together, quick shots together.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Justin, I do this. And again, I'm human. I procrastinate. I do it tomorrow. And I still experience those things, those moments, those times. But when I work out, shadow box, move around, dancing, feel much better. That's what I'm trying to convey to the listeners. You know, just move your body. Just move your body.
You're very vocal about your past struggles with alcoholism and drug addiction, and you've revealed how programs like AA have been a major key to your sobriety. And I wanted you to explain to people who may be foreign into these meetings and rooms what kind of struggle people might be having right now without the ability to meet up as a community and go through the steps together.
Well, you know, it could be financial situations. And with this virus, I mean, your loved one, your friends. We come down hard on ourselves, even harder than it, when the picture really is. But the thing I love about AA is the fact that, you know, it's not just me. It's not just me going through this dark period of mine. I've been sober now 15 years. And, you know, I'm able to talk about things. I talk about myself. I talk about my character defects. But you have to believe that there's a higher power. You don't have to believe in God or anything. Just know that there's something, or feel that there's something that's going to help you out. And also the people who are there, the other alcoholics. I go, especially, what they call that now, these virtual...
virtual rooms, yeah.
Zoom. Oh, my gosh. Because if I don't go to a meeting, in fact, my wife, she reminds me, Ray, have you been to a meeting? Because it comes out. Mm. But when I go to the meeting, I'm productive, I feel better about myself, and I know I'm not by myself.
And without the ability to sort of meet up right now and be in groups, you're saying there are alternatives for people that they're using, like these Zoom meetings or virtual hangouts.
I mean, I was so afraid that, you know, I would be left out. But the Zoom meetings, lifesaver. No question about that, a lifesaver.
That's great to hear. More with the legend Sugar Ray Leonard after this quick break. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. And we're back with Sugar Ray Leonard. Do you ever play video games? Because I have a story to tell you, but I want to know first if you play video games ever.
Oh, I play the old video games.
The old Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo. Yeah, I'm that old, yeah, Nintendo back in the day.
Listen, I'd play Nintendo if I could right now. That's my favorite system. But there are no sports going on right now, so a lot of people have turned to video games. ESPN's even showing Xbox basketball broadcasts. I don't know if you've seen that. They're doing the show tournament with baseball players this week as well.
Well, I think there was something called it was a Fight Night Champion.
Oh, well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Okay, so the World Boxing Super Series was a big deal this past week. You've obviously heard a little bit of rumblings about it. They simulated these fights through tournaments in a video game called EA Sports Fight Night Champion. Okay, so it's the only way that we could hear about boxing right now. So losers like me who are fiending for it are like, okay, I'll watch video games. So I'm watching it. And they're supposedly trying to figure out the best fighters and the best fights. And they ran a heavyweight tournament. And the heavyweight tournament, through simulation, right? The finals were Tyson versus Ali. And I'm not mad at that. That sounds like the right finals.
Right.
Okay, so Tyson beats Ali, which is questionable. But listen, Tyson in his prime, it's possible. It's slightly controversial, but possible, okay? The true issues happen, though, in the middleweight tournament. So in the first round of fights, somehow, and I say... somehow, with the most disgust in my voice possible, somehow they had you, at 24 years old, go up against Winky Wright, who was 39 in the video game, and somehow Winky Wright took you out with a TKO.
Give me a break.
How is that even possible? It crushed the credibility of the tournament. People were literally saying, this is throwing away everything you guys have worked for. It is a total joke. I cannot believe that's even in the lexicon of video games that you would lose to Winky Wright.
Listen, are you trying to make me mad?
You can't be madder than I was. I was screaming at the television.
I'm going to call Winky when I hang out with you.
It's so stupid.
We can do something.
I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it. Okay. On the topic of boxing, the sport has seen its share of ups and downs over the past 10 years. And excuse the pun, it's been against the ropes for a while. Rumor is that they will not be having live events across the board, sports, concerts, whatever, until 2021. Do you think boxing can survive that kind of thing where there's no ticket sales or live gate for an entire year?
Can boxing survive that? Yes, it can. It's not good for it, but it can. It will. Boxing won't die. Boxing will always be around. It will survive. No pun intended. It takes a black eye, but it comes back.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, have you ever imagined what fighting would be like for a heavyweight championship with no one in the stands, with no fans there?
It's hard to fathom that. I can't visualize that. I can't see that happening. I can't. It's hard to imagine that.
It is. I guess too, like with boxing, it is such a fan-related sport. Like it's sparring without any audience. It just feels like a different sport a little bit.
Well, for me, I fed off the fans. I fed off the audience. When I fought, whether it was Hearns or Hagler or Duran, I mean, I love it. That's what helped me out because I like creating the excitement and what have you.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
I miss them too. I wanted to ask too, I'm a kind of a boxing fan still at this point, and I really am impressed by Ryan Garcia. He's Oscar De La Hoya's new fighter, and I wanted to ask if you had seen him at all.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, this kid got so much talent, so much talent. There's a lot of talent out there. Mm-hmm. And once we get through this virus at some point, I can't wait until those talented young men start to fight each other again. I mean, when a champion fights another champion, that's the action. That's what the fans deserve to see.
Absolutely. And if anyone hasn't seen Ryan Garcia fight, I mean, it is worth a YouTube dive now that we all have time sitting in front of our computer because he has some incredible highlight reels on YouTube.
Ryan Garcia, I mean, just an amazing little fighter.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's a beast. I'm glad you said that.
He truly is.
He's a beast.
So we try to end with something a little positive and then get into some stupid stuff I want to suggest to you. But first, I want to ask, is there anything you think that we've adapted? And you've touched on some of this a little bit as far as washing hands and wearing the mask and making sure that we're all healthy and hygienic. But is there anything that we've adapted during this time that you think should sort of live on once the virus is cured?
Well, the hands, because my fans and whatever, and I shake hands, I hug and all this kind of stuff. And I touch my face, my mouth, but everything. I don't know how many times, but it teaches you to take care of yourself. Again, like, to wash your hands and to be of distance.
Yeah, and I've said this before on the show, but even before this, I don't even think I was washing my hands correctly. I think I was putting the soap on and then putting it under the water instead of watering down my hands and putting on the soap and then 20 seconds. I didn't even know that stuff.
I tell people just take care of yourself and be safe.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it does become part of the normal lexicon at this point. So lastly, I wanted to give you some suggestions, things that I wrote down for you during quarantine, during the Sugar Ray Leonard quarantine. First, I wanted to suggest I thought about bird watching for you. It's weird. Don't get me wrong. I think you have the temperament for it. You're a perfect fit. You could sit in your backyard or really your couch or near a window, whatever it is, and just take photos of birds.
Justin, this is so ironic. It's so crazy because my property, there's always a lot of birds coming around to find some food or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I watch. I just sit there and watch it.
See? I know my Sugar Ray Leonard temperament.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Great. Okay. This one, I'm pretty adamant and passionate about. I need you to start learning EA Sports Fight Champion video game because there's no world where I allow Winky Wright to beat the crap out of you ever again. It will never happen again.
Well, you know, again, I told you, I'm going to call him when we hang up.
Good. Because you don't mess with Sugar Ray, even when holding an Xbox controller. I'm disgusted by it, and I'm losing sleep. Champ, I know you said your dad had come up in the last few days regarding supermarkets and stuff. I just want to let you know my father passed now, God, 11 years ago. If there was any way he would know I could interview Sugar Ray Leonard at some point in my life, I can't imagine the pride he'd have. I mean, this is a dream come true for me, and you're just such a shining light for this time. So I'm just so happy to be able to have talked to you.
Well, I look forward to seeing you, big guy.
Thank you so much. And keep your family safe and everybody healthy, and best to you guys.
It's mutual. Thanks, Jensen.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, and me, Jensen Carton. Our series producer is Matthew Kugler. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Our theme music is composed by Spielkus. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on Apple Podcasts. You have nothing else to do. Send it to your friends, tweet, share, post about it, do whatever you can. And please visit feedingamerica.org. And if you're able to make a donation, any amount will help make a difference. And you can learn more about other ways to help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for our show transcripts for the hearing impaired listeners, please go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well. The No Sports Report is a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.